Blog Talk Radio.
I wish there was a video game to teach you your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. But there is certain information that you can only get in conversation with young people. We'll talk to
old people.
It would make us
people would talk to old people and us old people talk to the young people, it'll make it a better world, and it also kind of feed that newness. It pumps in some fresh blood as well. A lot of times we sit and we laugh at all of the technical aspects of the new life, new world we got going on here with our teenagers, technology. And you know what? If we didn't have them, with the whisper, if we didn't have them to tell us exactly how to do it, it wouldn't get done correctly. We'd still be there reading all of the instructions. Anyway, you are listening to First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Suzlynn McDonald. I am coming to you from amazing, sunny, and it's even kind of cool, in Las Vegas. I would like to thank you for joining us. And if you'd like to call in, as you know, the number is area code 347-324-5730. Again, that number is area code 347-324-5730. Well, as we regularly do, I'd like for you to get a cup of coffee, a glass of water, some tea, whatever it takes for you to be relaxed for the next 26 minutes, and I'll be able to actually get to you and make you kind of lay back and relax and spend some time together. Well, I'm not even hosting this show today. I'm going to put it back in Lady Kathy's lap again. This is her show, and I tell you, when I looked and saw what the title of the show was, I had to kind of clear my throat. Because, again, you have where there are so many people that are hiding or the information that they're looking for. We see that you're there. It's up to you if you want to talk. Again, the title of the show today is, How Do You Deal With the Shame and Guilt When There's Infidelity in the Marriage? When there is infidelity in the marriage, how do you deal with the shame and the guilt while trying to decide whether to stay or whether to count your losses and move on? I got to go ahead and bring her in. You're already in, so just chime in. Jalene, good morning. How are you?
Good morning,
Lady Kathy.
Susie, can you hear
me? Wow. Yes, I can now.
Okay.
I was reading the title of the show, and I was like, okay, she's got something up her sleeve. So I'm just going to sit back and relax. I'm the audience today, so I'm going to sit back and let you handle your business. Bam, it's on you. Good morning, hostess. How are you? Do your thing.
Good morning. Bear with me. I have had an excruciating headache for the last 4 days, and I am, after this show, going to get it checked out. I've never had headaches, so my husband's like, you're going to get that checked out. So I'm kind of looking out of one eye here, but I am so excited about the show today, and when I began to pray about what to use for the topic today, this is what dropped in my spirit, and I began to think about all of the people who are in the position of minister, of pastor, and there's been times in the relationship, and if they're huge, as we know, they're in the public eye, when there's been some indiscrepancies. and they've been brought forth publicly. And so it's usually a gentleman that has that issue. But then the wife is strung along with him because she's his helpmeet. She's his partner. And she usually finds out when everybody else finds out. But yet, she can't run and tuck her tail, at least not in the public eye. She has to appear as though she's supporting her man. And I've seen this not even in just in church, but even on on large arenas like presidency and, you know, people that are in high-fluting offices who've been caught in some indiscrepancies. And it's been public, and it's usually not by them. It's usually by either the person that they were having the relationship with or someone that found out about it and took it to the media. But oftentimes I'm looking at the wife standing beside him saying, oh, I'm in 100% support of my man.
Right.
And then she's gone. So, I mean, that, I haven't, thank God, I have not had that to happen in my own marriage.
Uh-huh.
However, every time I see that, I look at the wife, and she has to look like, you know, it's not bothering her, or she's not embarrassed or shamed. And it seems to me as though the wife is the one that's carrying the guilt and the shame from the infidelity.
Right. Wow.
And
well, you know, any indiscretion.
Yes.
Any indiscretion.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, whether it's that is huge, especially when it's on a large level. And you know what? It reminds me of, as a matter of fact, she's going to be here performing, Bette Midler. And the first time I saw that, her show is the epitome of, in the midst of all the shame and everything, how women stand by their man. Now, a man will leave you quick. But bottom line being, she had
absolutely.
In her show, it was a song called Stand By Your Man, which is a country western song. But when she entered the stage, she was in a wheelchair. Yeah, but when she entered the stage, she was sitting in a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
Singing Stand By Your Man.
I like that.
Right. So when you said that just now, I'm like, yeah, broken, ashamed, can't even stand on your own feet, and yet you do. If it means rolling in on a wheelchair, in the wheelchair. Go ahead. Wow.
And I often wondered, because I told my husband, I said, if that ever happened with us, you need to rest assured I will not be standing there beside you acting like it's okay.
Right.
I'm going to act a fool, as they say.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, I can honestly say, I haven't had that situation myself, not the infidelity in the marriage, not at all. But the bottom line being, you never know how you'll act till you're in it too, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you think you
true.
May act a fool, but you can be in such shock that although you're standing there and smiling in the midst of it, you are in a wheelchair and you are feeling completely undone. And yet, you can't let anybody else see you sweat. That's just part of it. I mean, if you go through the Kennedys and you go through the Bushes and you go through the Clintons, I mean, I think Obama is the only one we haven't had any of those issues with, period. But bottom line being, those women stood there. And you know, because it is on, no matter what level it is, whether it's a huge level that's very visible or if you are in a relationship and it's not something that's on TV or whatever, the feeling is the same. It's betrayal. It is shame.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, I'm sure many of them need to go into a hyperbaric chamber to regain the oxygen that they held because they held their breath in the midst of that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
And you know what, it's really shameful that we can say that most of our men in power have had that incident where there was fidelity in the marriage. And it was brought to the public forum. And I tell my husband, this scripture all the time when I see that, God did not, especially the men in the church, because we're talking about first ladies and the pastors. But
right.
In order for it to be public, to be made public, you will not, you didn't deal with it privately. Because the Bible says that God will bring you to an open shame.
Yes.
After
yes.
you've not listened to him privately.
Exactly. After. Say that again. After. Yes.
You did not listen to him privately. He will bring you to an open shame. And that's the Bible. And oftentimes he gives you, I mean, he gives you several opportunities to get it together.
Yes.
Get it together. And you don't listen. Now, I grew up in my household with my pastor father. There was a bunch of infidelity going on in there. I mean, a bunch.
Wow.
A whole bunch of infidelity. I mean, I don't even know if the man was ever, ever, ever faithful to my mother. Ever. The infidelity was going on inside the house and outside the house. So I don't know if there was a faithful bone in his body. But my mother would, I don't know if she knew, but it was blatantly obvious that she did and everybody else did. Because these were women in the church. And and my mother would just sit there like a prima donna as if nothing was going on all around her. And I was just looking like, are you really serious right now? You don't see this right under your nose? Right in the church. And so, and I'm pretty sure a lot of women do that. They act like nothing's going on. And you touched on something when you said the men don't stay though. The men don't stay. And as soon as and as soon as the man finds somebody who they feel like can replace you, you're ousted. The first lady is gone. Most of the relationships that I know that broke up in the ministry where they were together and now they're not is because the husband was unfaithful. But when it's found out, the wife is out. The wife is out. And so now you're being, you know.
And she's put down. And she's put down.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, yes.
The reticule is totally not, you know, and it takes you to the scripture where Jesus drew the line when they were accusing the woman for adultery. And he said, well, he without sin, you know, cross the first, you know, you'd be the first to throw the first stone. Cross this line and throw the stone. And nobody could do it because they had so much infidelity in their own lives. And also the scripture where it talks about while you trying to get the little needle out of my eye and you got a beam in your own. You know what I mean? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Wow.
Absolutely. But, excuse me, we're going back to the shame and the guilt because it seems like the men are not shamed. It's the woman. And like you were just saying, the woman in the Bible, she was shamed. She was made to feel less than. She was made to feel like dirt because being caught in the position of adultery. But where was the man? They never talked about the man.
Talk about never, ever. Ever.
Never have you heard, have you seen in the Bible them talk about the man. They ridiculed the woman. They wanted to beat the woman down. They wanted to stone the woman. And Jesus, all he did was sit down and write in the ground. And he said, without sin, cast the first stone.
Exactly.
And he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and he looked
and
up
he ignored
and nobody there but him.
I mean, if you think about that, he said that, and he was like, I'm not going to even look at you to embarrass you now. I'm going to just look down and write in the dirt. I'm going to write in the dirt and wait for one of you guys to start. And then when he looked up, wasn't nobody there. He was like, okay, sis, go ahead and go. Your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
You know? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it does take two to tangle. You know, they say that. But you know what, it still has, it's a double standard, even with our youngsters. And even today, those that are in the church and not the church, the daughters are always put to be, to hold a different set of rules than the sons.
A double standard.
Totally. Different rules, double standard, call it what you want to, it's incorrect. It should be across the board. Yes, go ahead, Lady Kathy. Wow.
So then they leave and they're carrying this guilt and shame with them as if they've done something wrong. And I was listening to a young couple the other day, and the young couple was blaming, the wife was totally blaming the husband for the infidelity. And the husband was totally blaming the wife for the infidelity. And I looked at him and said, well, you're both wrong. I mean, how is your infidelity better than her infidelity? because you justified yours because of what they, you know, the other person did. It was both wrong. That's not
exactly
how you settle it. And so the man decided he wanted to get a divorce, and he went down, filed papers, and put that in action. He's getting a divorce. And I wanted him to serve his wife the papers. And the wife walked away with her head down. My heart hurt. Bowed down in shame and guilt. And she really had done nothing wrong. He didn't even give her a chance to talk about it. I'm done. I'm out. Went straight to the court, filed the paperwork, brought it back, signed it, we done. There was no reconciliation. There was no opportunity to explain. There was nothing. This is a man. This is a man who, when you get caught, they're done. When they get caught, they're begging, they're pleading, they're buying 10-karat diamond rings, they're buying new vehicles, new houses. You got all kind of money, access to anything you want, just don't leave me.
Right. Wow.
Why? Because I need you to help me look good in this mess I created.
Exactly. And you know what's the difference
you
in
die.
That too? Oh, God. I'm sure. You know, it definitely does. I can only speak for myself. I've never had an infidelity. I didn't have an infidelity in my marriage. But when I was dating and we were engaged, to come into that situation or to become aware of it was devastating, you know. And it was funny because I did all that crying. Oh, my God. But you know what I realized? It was my ego. It had nothing to do with emotion.
Yeah,
it had nothing to do with anything else. My ego was bruised, baby. And then when it was funny, because God, I heard God clear as you talking on this phone, and he said to me then, if you get up and stand up and tell me you want this man, I'll give him back to you. And my tears dried up like the River Jordan.
Wow.
He parted the sea. I could see the fish on both sides of me. And I said, No,
wow.
Because if you take them back after that's been done, you have given them free reign to know that, okay, it's okay. Even if you say to them, you give them the stipulations and you give them all these ultimatums, you know. So for me, I don't really know how that should possibly be reconciled. It can be, because God says about forgiveness, and but we have to go to a lot of therapy, and it, you know, God would have to work in me, because again, you're dealing with not just your ego, you're dealing with your shame, you're dealing with your God, you know, especially because there's so many men now that say, God said you're my wife. Well, now, did God tell you that you could do that? That is the issue.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So again, yes.
What was God saying
go
for doing that?
You gonna make
since
this
you hear
scream.
From him loud and clear, but he's speaking.
Obviously,
you know his voice.
God, you missed him. So now you're making me think you missed him on every account now. Wow. Hello. Are we touching any? Are we touching any spots here now?
First of all, do you know? Let me know. You really don't know God's voice, because that was not God.
Yeah, that's deep. That is so deep. I never even thought about that one. You hit that one, and I'm holding the hammer in my hand. Wow.
Oh, yes, sweetie. Yes, yes. That one has been quoted.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, we are talking today about how do you deal with the shame and guilt when there's infidelity in the marriage? I mean, and also not just the infidelity in the marriage, how do you deal with the shame and guilt while still trying to decide whether I'm staying or if I'm going? Am I already gone? Have you got one foot out the door and one in, and you're looking back and forth? How do you deal with it? That's what we're talking about today. Go ahead, Lady Kathy.
Well, you know, and I mentioned a little earlier in the conversation that a lot of times they stay because of I heard one of the first ladies say, this was on a television show, Iyanla's television show. She said, Bianca, why do you stay? She said, because I like I got my own parking spot.
Oh.
I can wear, this is crazy. You know, she wears a big hat to church. You know, people recognize her as a first lady. But that is something that's going on that's much deeper than just being the first lady and having all that attention. There are some issues that really need to be addressed because you can park your spot at home. You know what I mean?
However, you can get another home and park your own spot.
Get another home. And she likes the prestige and being familiar and being out front as the first lady and being recognized as that. So much so, her husband cheated 9 times. So until she stayed through all of those women. Mm. He had three babies online. And
oh my.
Excuse me. It was like, are you serious? And when y'all got finished with it though, that beloved, you need to find another parking spot.
Oh wow. See? But again, it goes
back.
Right. You put your big hat on from the car and park another spot. But you know what? It still comes back to ego as well. The ego. One thing you just said, she liked the parking spot and she liked people recognizing her when they saw her and the big hat. We live here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and all these neon lights everywhere. But I tell you what, it's not happening. I don't have a need to be recognized. And not only that, she's being recognized under something that don't have nothing to do with her.
A lie.
That's even scarier. Not even yeah. The lie, yes, but I'm saying she's in a marriage. They're only recognizing you because of him. Now, if you leave today, are they going to recognize you, and how's your hat? How is that hat
now? Right.
Tilted?
That's right. That's absolutely. Absolutely. It's tilted, yes.
Yeah.
But think about Hillary
Clinton.
Hillary Clinton, she stayed with President Clinton. I don't know why. But when I encounter stuff like that in relationships or in life, and it doesn't have to be my relationship, just in the group, I accept the challenge. And I accept the challenge in this way. I accept the challenge. If you tell me what I cannot do, or if there's
mm-hmm.
some adversity, I'm going to use that as a stepping stone to step up higher in myself and in this world and to make myself and my contribution to the world better. I'm not
right.
going to use that as less than. I'm not going to cower down. I'm going to raise up. And when you see me, I will be on 4 other levels, and you'll wonder how I got there. And it will be because you gave me the fuel and the ammunition, because that's how I fight. I fight by bettering myself. So if there's
mm-hmm.
an issue with, well, you ate this, you can't do that, I'll go above and beyond that to prove to myself, yes, I can. There's no limitations here. And so
right.
when I have a situation like that where if I had, Lord, I wouldn't be sitting there talking about, I probably have to, y'all have to bring me some cigarettes. They still smoke cigarettes in jail. Because I feel like we should have that conversation before the public finds out about it. This is something I shouldn't be standing there with my mouth open, wide open, just with shock and awe as much as everybody else. This was
right,
something
right.
you should have came to me on your knees, crawling in the door, saying, I need to talk. Forgive me. I've sinned. And give me an opportunity to digest that and process that before I got cameras knocking on my door saying, what do you think about the husband's infidelity? And I'm standing there like a nut saying, what infidelity?
Right.
That I don't think is right.
Wow.
That I don't think
no.
is right. But you won't see me. You won't see me cower down. You'll see me raise up and just take it and make good out of it. You know, I'll be a vegetarian in South China somewhere. Like, this is what we do, because I need to put my energy somewhere positive when I have encounters like that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
And it won't be any social media bashing and all this other stuff. You just look at me like, wow, she really rose up after that hurtful, painful situation. I can't believe she did. You know, you know, that's how I had. That's how I fight.
Exactly. Well, me too, as you know. But for me, and that, it wasn't because of infidelity. It's anything in my life. Anything that
anything.
They said I couldn't do.
Yeah.
Yes, if you tell me no, I tell you what
anything.
my mantra is. I flip it backwards. That's on. It's on.
It's
and
on.
It's a good thing
right.
because it actually takes you to a place where you have to challenge yourself to get
it brings you back up to where you need to be. I thank God for the mother I had and the daddy, because if I learn mm-hmm. nothing else, I know how to challenge myself. I don't need somebody
That's
else to
right.
challenge me. But now, in this type of situation, as you said, how do you deal with the shame and guilt when there's infidelity in the marriage? And after you find about the infidelity, which even the women that you've seen on the president's wives or these different congressmen or even preachers, the question is, in the midst of the infidelity and you're dealing with the shame and the guilt of it, you're dealing with it. And deciding whether, especially because with women, most women have children. They don't want their children from a broken home. So they're deciding on so many different bases, and then still
and
doing the biggest.
And that's another reason why they stay, too.
Yeah, exactly.
For the children.
And doing yourself the biggest disservice to your own self first. To your own self be
mm-hmm.
true.
To your own self,
if you stay, you know, you're going to walk around wounded. Yes, you can forgive him. Yes, all of that. But there is a wound that you can see that scar, especially if they end up with a child or something from it. Like you said, the man had, 11 kids? My God. That just made my head
three
hurt.
On the outside,
my head hurts
yeah.
now. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
Maybe I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's beyond
but it's,
me.
But it's a tough
you know,
to swallow, though, because I've seen it. I've seen it over and over again. And, you know, as ourselves, as ladies, we've had, you know, we've counseled couples who've gone
yes.
through that. And we've seen
mm-hmm.
the hurt and the pain and the scars that it causes. And every
yeah.
time I'm in the office counseling with my husband and another couple, and there was infidelity on the man's part, every time the woman sits there and acts with her head bowed, like she is the one that caused it. And
yeah.
it's internalized, you know, but it's hard to hold your head up when your husband is confessing infidelity to the pastor. I mean, they carry it,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's just a woman's nature because we just turn to carry
yeah.
stuff.
Well, think about it. Look at the way our bodies are built, even when you get ready to bring children forth. But those whole 9 months, you are carrying. You're embodying. You know, you're feeding. You're nurturing. And the whole thing being, I mean, we're beating the man up, too, but it also takes another woman to help him do it. Hopefully another woman. Oh, Lord. But there are those
yeah,
who go with men.
True.
So, you know, but the bottom line being is that
yeah,
and you know
yeah,
what's
you're
crazy?
You're right about that. There's, yeah.
There's the crazy
now.
Part of it. Yes, there are the issues on both sides of the fence. The main thing being right now, we're into our 1 minute right now. The one thing that we want to say, although you hear us, the way we're talking, we're not making it light, but we're making it light. The reason we're making it light is because in everything we do, we have a daddy, a God in heaven that gives us choices. He doesn't even want us to serve him as a puppet. He wants us to come to him with free will and desiring to serve him, to be his daughter, to preserve ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to pray to him and let him direct our path, that we will not have to run into some of the walls that we will run into. And another thing, going back on that, did you ask God if that was him? I can honestly say I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when they say that God said you my wife, did you ask? I can honestly say I didn't. You know, I'm going to be honest with that. Yeah. And I just, because I mean, that's how I had walked my walk with God the whole time I've been saved. I never really had to question mm-hmm. him on anything, so I didn't think I should question him on that. But, ladies, we're at the end of our show now, ladies and gentlemen, because I see you out there. And I say to you, you can ask God. I ask him now, what can I wear in the morning? I ask him if I can wear eyelashes, red lipstick, if I could put on my earring. Which earring you want? You want me to wear two different
yeah.
ones? It doesn't matter. Yes. So the bottom
yeah.
line being now, the being able to consult on both ends of the board is where I am now. I'm going to let you close out the show, as you know, because this has been your show, and my ears, my hair is blown back for the last, three shows. So I'm going to let you close out while my hair is blown back. You got it.
Well, I like what you said, because there is hope. There's hope for anyone who's caught in a situation like this, be it by your own will or that it was forced upon you. And Jesus is always the answer. Always the answer.
Yeah.
This dream shows that we know our issues in relationships, in churches, as first ladies, as pastors, but there's always hope. And what we would like to do today is thank our sponsors that have made this show a success, and that is Hands of Conference Foundation, and that is a foundation for anyone who has been caught in any type of trauma, any traumatic situation, suicide, loss of a loved one, anything that's traumatic to you. You can call the Hands of Conference Foundation, and that number, Lady Susie, is
702-683-6373. Again, the number is 702-683-6373.
And also Destined for Glory World Outreach Ministries, where the pastor is Pastor Tony Howard, 6037 South Rainbow Boulevard, right here in sunny Las Vegas, Nevada. Look us up on the web. Look us up on the Facebook. We're there. And we look forward to seeing you on Monday.
Yes.
This show
yes.
cannot go forth without you. So thank you to our listening audience. We love you so much, and hug yourself today.
Exactly. Well, thank you for joining First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. We look forward to seeing you every hearing and seeing you every Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 10:30. Have an amazing weekend. I know everybody's going to be out there with the sports. Enjoy the game. Be careful. Love
yes.
the one that loves you most. And that's our Father. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.